Hi friends, we will cover chapter 6 now, which is on types of research design overall under the subject of marketing research. In this chapter, we will study, there are three different types of research that is being done. We have briefly touched base upon them when we discuss something like, as I told you, experiential design, descriptive design, etc. So let's get into it and try and understand various aspects of this particular nature of research types in little more detail. Objective is to understand the research design and its significance, and then the various types of research design that is prevailing in the market. Marketing research serves the foundation of marketing since it is used to support all marketing decisions. And we all know that it's a research-based marketing decisions always increases the probability of your success in the market. Why this has been done? What kind of decision that it supports? And so it's generally been divided into five important dimensions. One is explanations. Research findings may give you and help you with the explanations. Why my sale is falling? And if you do that, or prediction, what will be the absorption of this substitute product, etc. Monitoring. You have to monitor the trend and you have to see that how this is going to go. So monitoring is done. Discovery, and you have to find out change that is happening, and so you discover certain things, or you do a hypothesis testing, and you are setting some hypothesis which is within a cause and a dependent variable, and then you derive whether that hypothesis is valid or not. So that's the purpose for which the research is generally been carried out. So what we are trying to understand is the research approach can be classified into three different categories of research approach: exploratory, descriptive, and experimental. So we will now understand them into little more detail. So what is exploratory research? And exploratory research, when I say, is the objective is on an insight. Insight to your problem, opportunity, your hypothesis, or objective that you are trying to understand. But it is done in an exploratory manner. As it says, it will take a bird's eye view, or it will take a generalized view based on available information, done to get an additional or a recent information. It could be the replica of a primary research, and you want to implement a primary research, but which is very large, has a financial impact also. So to be very certain about success, or to be very certain about the research approach itself, etc., many times you do what you call an exploratory research, and based on secondary data, generally done on secondary data, and you decide go, no go decisions are taken based on that. Many times, as I said, to be on a safer side, even pilot primary research is implemented as an exploratory research to understand. Good exploratory research designs are flexible. It allows you to improvise over a period kind of thing, and provides always an useful insight. Decision based on many time exploratory research saves you from the risk of investment, from the risk of losing market, etc. When there is a capital investment, there is a more risk, etc., you get into what you call a detailed research, descriptive research, as I have earlier mentioned. What are the types of exploratory research designs? And exploratory research designs is in the nature of a preliminary investigation. So it starts with the preliminary investigation. Objective is to generate new ideas, and you have to derive at some conclusive this thing without really getting into too much of a detail. To achieve this objective, you are needing certain information, certain findings, certain observations to come to you. This design really differentiates the problem solving than the conclusive study. So this design uses a different approach to problem solving than the conclusive. Conclusive needs a very descriptive, detailed research. This design helps you to be at a broad level, practical level, to take you certain decisions. Used in the following situation, it helps you to probably define a problem better. You are facing management as a dilemma. You have your management problem, but you are not able to articulate as a research problem or a marketing problem. In such case, you would probably want to do a exploratory research to be able to derive at a right research brief or research problem, establish research priorities and what needs to be done first, and prioritize, etc. Hypothesis development again is a challenging proposition, though we have studied about what is good hypothesis and all, but many times you need an exploratory research to really bring that relativeness between the two aspects of the hypothesis, the again background information, lot of past data, past information, etc. that is needed to take go-no-go decisions as a precursor to the primary research channel. So many times you take a decision, if my exploratory research indicates that there is a feasibility, I will go for the primary research. So if my exploratory research indicates that there is a product and demand gap, justifies my investment, then I will do the primary research. So these are the situation in which it is done. How do you do that? Yani? So you possibility of study of a lot of literatures, finding published reports, papers, research papers, etc. The experience survey, the stimulating insights, etc. So you even do a probably experience survey even under exploratory research. So your experience survey is one of the technique, but when used as an exploratory research, then it's an exploratory tool. This thing, analysis of stimulating insights. And you also can create in your own way small stimulants and, you know, put into market and monitor and try and see that how this is behaving, and then based on that you can decide your go no go decisions. And a study of literature and findings, it's like a very simple understanding of how you do the secondary data analysis. You do the same this thing for your exploratory research. And so a lot of secondary data sources and all we have studied earlier. You even may have to define your hypothesis and all, to which you set your objective, and you then gather information helping you to be able to get an answer to your research problem. Experience survey, when I say, is one of the method under exploratory research, is like users select experienced people from the field in direct exploration on a problem on a hypothesis. In this method, highly experienced professionals in the specific fields have dealt with various problems, and then they are the one who will come and help you to forecast what is in store for you in future. Data collected from various such interviews across the country, and based on that hypothesis generated. Then after meeting this expert subject matter specialist or an experienced industry people, etc. So generally the trade body heads or, you know, president of the organization, etc. You try and then create a hypothesis which is then probably qualify for next phase of exploratory research, and then you arrive at your final go no go decision. So that's what they call this experience survey. Exploratory research designs are also like another stimulating insight. Yani, we have mentioned that this is one of the aspects, and you do this analyzing the stimulating insight, in which focus on obtaining the insights. You have to focus on getting certain insights, stimulate the insights, and the dig deeper by actually conditioning certain stimuli so that you are able to get a better understanding. Volatility of research assignments can be gauged. So when you do this stimulant-based, you know, insights gathering, you will also come to know the risk involved in your primary research, etc. Therefore, you are able to then control in future if you get into doing a primary research. This method is applied primarily to gain the insight on various issues in a very a practical way. Having done that, it attempts to then generalize overall picture and then decide the risk or an opportunity in your research problem or hypothesis, and then it takes the way forward. For example, the usage of internet technology in marketing was explored by many marketers using this method when technology was relatively new. So here is an exploratory way of engaging into new technology innovation and then trying to see whether this is going to help you in future. You know, that's what is critical part of it. Having done exploratory research, we have first discussed that as one of the approach to doing this, one of the types of research design. Now we do the descriptive research. As the name suggests, it's a detailed investigation of the marketing research problem. Therefore, it is known as a descriptive research, where various parameters needs to be studied in detail. It's a scientific method, and it means it has to go through that entire rigor of proper sampling design, proper research plan, way of research data collection, statistical analysis, the test parameters to see that the data derived is of a statistical significance and all. So as a result, therefore, it is known as a more scientific approach to taking your decision. But yes, it is a time consuming and costly. For the example is like a researcher could carry out the research for finding out which brand of beverage is popular in which age group and which geographical region, etc. So you require a very detailed research done across India for in that category of individuals. So this is known as a descriptive research. Focus of descriptive research is on providing an accurate description of something that is happening, and you are not understanding something that you want to know. Will it happen or not, etc. Some relativeness between the two independent criteria, scenario, situation, etc. You want to understand. Descriptive design results in a description of the data, whether in words, picture, charts, etc. So, okay, it is just a way to tell you that it involves various ways to analyze and represent the data in front of you. Irrespective of what is mentioned, at the end, it gives you a clear idea, answer to the question, marketing or a research question that you have raised, or it validates your, negates your hypothesis. The basic objective of descriptive research design is to find out answer to the question who, what, how, when, where of the subject which is under investigation. So it's an answer driven, detailed investigation based research. There are two basic types of descriptive research, longitudinal research and cross-sectional studies. So, longitudinal studies and cross-sectional studies, we will quickly cover them. Longitudinal studies, please remember this is a part of descriptive research design. There are certain behaviors you would like to understand over a period of long time, long period. So, in that case, you get into doing a longitudinal descriptive research. It is a science in itself, so because it's a time series based analysis done over a long period of time. It helps you to know buying preference, change in buying preference, brand preference, change in brand preference, etc. Same individuals are interviewed. What is important is like every time this research is done, the same individuals are interviewed. In this method, the awareness change, a trial change, a habit change, usage of change of attitude, personality, effects, etc. are brought out. You know, when the guy moves into higher in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, his preferences all may change. So, all these things aspects come out when you do longitudinal nature of research. Consumer panel of select nature of family as a sample unit is made. So, you will make a sample unit which is consisting of the consumers. And then to whom you will go and repeatedly meet over a pre-decided periodic interval. Responsible to note down every purchase, every usage habits, every shift of brand, etc. and discuss with you when you meet him the next year. Advantage of longitudinal studies are pretty, I will probably touch base on important one. Enable research to undertake the detailed analysis of the characteristics of individual. So, it really helps you to bring out change happening due to behavioral, psychological, psychographic understanding of an individual. So, therefore, what triggers the change of brand, what makes him leave the brand loyalty, etc. What are the factors that is driving his selection of a particular product, a particular place of purchase, and all these things can come out from such kind of a research. It helps you to obtain more comprehensive data from the individual about your product, competing product, etc. Cost of data collection is low compared to other methods, because what happens when you do this kind of a thing? It is not only for one product or this thing, it is generally a category or a product line or product mix for which it has been done, and hence the expenses are spread across different brand or category heads, and as a result it is not found to be very very costly in terms of its return on investment. Data is more reliable and accurate because it is supposed to be based on the real purchase happening at the end of the consumer panel. Advantage, again I am continuing, the able to detect the development in the characteristics of an individual, behavioral aspects, population, behavioral changes, etc. So, what is driving those changes, etc. can also come out. It helps you to formulate and continue to be on differentiation level of far above your competition, because you are able to somehow gather this shift earlier than any other one, and as a result, you are able to frame your go-to-market approach, marketing mix adoption, etc. and then creating a differentiation in the market. And that's what gets you more and more traction, more and more action by the consumers towards your brand and your product. Cross-sectional studies, again, it is a part of a descriptive study that we are trying to study, method, a technique. Cross-sectional studies addresses the cross-sectional, that is, let's involve observation of a subset from a population of an item at all the same time, in which groups are compared, for example, different age groups are compared with respect to independent variables such as IQ and memory. So here, cross-sectional analysis is done, yani, wherein it's a subset which has been decided. Subset could be your segment, subset could be your demographic, geographic variables, etc. And they are studied over a period of time. Yani, they are studied in detail, yani, what is happening when it comes to... however, it is not over a period of time. It is at a particular point of time. Same time what has been mentioned out here. It's a particular point of time. When I do this cross-sectional analysis of a descriptive nature, for that month or 2 months when my data collection has happened, the status, the analysis, inference out of that research is for that particular point of time. Okay, over a period, if the environmental and other external factor changes, then this research finding cannot be extrapolated for the future time as such. You may require similar research done again. We have earlier done, which was longitudinal survey, allows you a continuous feed of changing changes that is happening. This research will not allow you, but it will help you to take a specific decision which is at a particular point of time you want to take. While those are continuous in nature, it impacts multiple marketing mix of yours, parameters, etc. So it is probably not based on the predefined problem as such, but it is like a continuous understanding and monitoring of change happening, based on which you then tweak your marketing mix. Here it is a specific decision that you want to derive and arrive at. Descriptive research, again, this cross-sectional analysis, the fundamental difference between the cross-sectional and the longitudinal is that the cross-sectional analysis takes place at a single point in time, and longitudinal involves series of time, longer time. Cross-sectional study samples the population to make the measurement at a specific time. Cohort analysis, specific type of cross-sectional analysis, tracking individual experience the same event within the same time or within the same time intervals. So this is one of the subset of a cross-sectional analysis, which is they call a cohort analysis, and it is useful over also period of your demand estimation or your, you know, decision making. Advantages of cross-sectional studies are many, and it's a uniform sample, specific time based and decision driven. That's the advantage of a cross-sectional studies. Sample surveys are cross-sectional studies whose samples are drawn in such a way that it represents overall cross-sectional parameters, and it's linked with your sales, and therefore whatever that emerge out of it is, it can be transferred to its impact on your sales, etc. Therefore, it has a relevance. Online survey is a popular method. Compare many different variables at the same time. It allows you to compare various variables at the same time, meeting the same samples in one point of time. So you are able to derive variations on various levels, and that helps you to take some form decisions. Now we come to last, which is an experimental research design. Experimental research design, it's the name suggests, do it and learn it types. So that's what the experimental research design stands for. It's an analog to stratification. It ensures that each experiment treatment is under used within each classification of test units, and each classification of extraneous forces is applied equally to all units. Analog to a statistification, so stratification. So it is like done in such a way that you have extraneous forces applied equally to all units. That is, wherever you are doing an experiment, external forces are applied equally. However, there is certain tweaks that has been done to internal forces, variables, which are within your control, and you try to see the result of that, which is experimental research. can be carried out in natural conditions or in a controlled environment or a controlled surroundings, as they say. Natural experiments conditions means a shop is open, the way it is open, the way they display things, the way they talk to the customers when they walk in, the way they promote your product, etc. It's all in a very kept, very natural and observed. In that condition, how the sale is getting influenced. While in a controlled environment, environment is constructed, certain basic hygiene of the environment is ensured, and then various variables are tweaked. Sometime or somewhere you have the promotion mix promoted, somewhere sometime you either have a price discount, somewhere sometime you have a alternative offer, exchange offer. All this thing is done to understand what is impacting, what is driving specific one parameter, which is sale. So that's how this conditional surrounding can be done. The research uses the same methodology for its control group. For instance, say the research is trying to understand the TV viewership of a Coca-Cola advertisement, etc. So now here what will happen is they will call, and under the natural condition, consumers will be allowed to talk, as they are free to talk. Under the control, this thing simulation, various queries will be raised in such a way that people understand whether the model has impacted, whether the situation story has impacted the sale. So what is it, so that's how they will try to play with and decide. So this is a very challenging proposition for the research agency, is to propose what kind of research. Control experiment is done under control environment, and manipulated checks are inserted. There are this primary types of experimental research design. So pre-experimental research design, so we understand now further subset of experimental design: pre-experimental, true experimental, and quasi-experimental research design. As the name suggests, pre-experimental is you get into a stage where design is further bifurcated into three types. So pre-experimental design again has a further bifurcation: one-shot case study, one group pre-test post-test research, and static group comparisons. So first one-shot case study research is conducted only once among a random sample. So you will catch hold of your sample only once, and you will do your experimental research with them. One group pre-test post-test, very interesting. One group identified, they are caught before their actual purchase. Whatever that you want to converse and understand, you do it. The guy goes and does the purchase, and then you again meet him as a post-test, where you again understand certain aspects, why he bought this, from where he bought this, what he liked, what he disliked about competing brands, and various other things. Putting this pre and post-test picture into perspective, you can derive at your impact. You can understand your marketing dynamics and what factors are for and against you. A static group comparison conducted among the same group with the same group members. It is like over a period of time, the same group is used to understand the same parameters and same aspects. So, which is a static group under the experimental research design. It's the same group. They are been aware that, we will be observed there. We will have to understand. We will have to tell them why we changed, etc. So, all those aspects, they are aware. It's like a same group going into various experimental design. So, static group experimental design. Experimental design, true experimental research design. So, this is one of the method, one of the way to do this experimental research design. We have studied earlier various types of pre-experiential, true experiential, and quasi. So, I have covered pre, I have completed. Now, we are at a true experiential research design. Control group, control group is one of the subset, the approach. Participants for research that are familiar to the experimental group, but experimental research rules do not apply to them. And experimental group participants, so it's a two experimental. As the name suggests, there is a group, there is a control group. They are aware about what is experimental research, etc. But they will not be driven by certain rules and regulation defined to them. They operate in the most natural environment. They go to where they want to go. They buy the way they want to buy. They buy what only they want to buy, etc. So that's what we call the true experimental research design. they are later probed by the research agency people to understand why he behaved in that manner. So that will throw a light on them, what is actually impacting the market. Variable which can be manipulated by the researchers can be applied. So when this is happening, marketing company can still play with the variables. They have this group, control groups can be say in Santa Cruz, control group can be say in Sobo, control groups can be say in Juhu. Now, marketing company can play with certain variables. They will do a tweak in showrooms which are in and around that area. They know that when these people go there, they will not be aware about what is the tweak that has been done. They behave in that most natural way. But collectively, when agency studies this, they will come to know which variable has impacted favorably. Random distribution, it allows you to randomly do your research where you are not forcing upon any things, etc. Your panel, again, need not 100% of them be on the field, etc. So it's an equal opportunity kind of thing to the all panel member. It will run for a period number of time within which whoever is done this, they will be probed and then the analysis will be arrived at. Quasi experimental research design, as the name suggests, quasi, partial. So quasi experimental research design, it is a partial experimental design. There is an element of experiment, there is also something else in it. Advantage of this experimental research design is, quasi experimental research design, you have a stronger hold over variables to obtain desired result. Here the variable manipulation is in your hand, subject to industry, subject or industry is not a criteria for experimental. It's the variable in your hand which determines the importance of the experiment. Results are extremely specific. So you are able to get an idea as to which variable is impacting your sale. The results are analyzed and later can be applied to similar aspects, similar perspective. In future when you encounter, cause and effect of a hypothesis can be derived. So you are able to really derive by playing with the variable, by playing with the way this experiment is conducted, which makes it a quasi-experimental. You are able to then predict the real impact of a particular variable on your sale. You are able to discard the variable which is not impacting your sale. You are able to know which factors are impacting your sale and within them which is the one which is significantly impacting your sales, etc. Therefore, the greater analysis and all these things are possible when you do the quasi-experimental research. So, friends, we have studied different types of marketing research. And with this, we complete this chapter 6. Thank you.